It's all good stuff.
And I lit that last candle for all those joys and sorrows that remain in the silence of our hearts. Now I'm going to turn things over to Katrina. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Trying to figure out which one I'm going to use here. So again, my name is Katrina Holland. I'm serving as Interim Executive Director at the Community Alliance of Tennis. And today I'm here to talk about a very important thing that I imagine lies very deep in all of our hearts, and that's home. So during our reflection time after the reading of this brief introduction, I'd like you to just take a few minutes and just orient yourself at your place that you call home. What is it? It's the place where we eat, the place where we sleep, the place where we raise our kids, sing joyful songs, share these joys and sorrows, the place where we spend time with our families and friends and eat and cook together. It's the place where we take a shower to get ready for the day, eat our food, drink, good stuff. What individual role does it play in your life, if you thought about it? And then I'd like you to think for just a moment on a grander scale and think, what's our housing crisis that we're facing right now in Oregon in that context? When Linda and Mark approached me about this opportunity, I was like, yeah, sure. And he said, well, can you talk a little bit about what drives you to this work? And I told him this story. What they pulled, like, oh, I can't believe that happened to you. I was a former landlord working for a company of which I will remain nameless for anonymity's sake. And in that particular place, home was not the place that you probably thought of. Home was a moneymaker. Home was a source from which we drew our salaries, a source from which we drew our ability to make repairs, and most importantly, make money for our property owners. And so whenever that particular place was compromised, regardless of how beautiful that place of home that we've just oriented ourselves in, regardless of that critical element that played in an individual's life, it could be taken away at the drop of a hat. What, that person asked for another repair? Oh, this is like the fifth time. Get rid of them. Just give them another cause. That's our housing crisis that we're facing today. So I'd like you to think about that for just a few moments before I come back up.
Thank you.
to what we talked about, what is home to you? Let's orient our place, let's orient ourselves in our places called home. Imagine a typical day in your own life. You get up, you take a shower, you get ready to go to work, you feed the kids if you have children, you get ready and send them off and try to pick up things along the way so that you don't come home to a disaster at the end of the day. And then you go to work and you spend 8 hours a day doing what you do, making money or devoting yourself to a passion that you intimately are acquainted with. And then you come home and you go, oh, that was such a hard day. Wow, we just had a really long time. And the kids come home and they're doing their homework and eating and doing all this amazing stuff. You cook food. And then you go to sleep and it starts all over again. You think about what that place of home means for you. It's a central tenet of your life. It supports everything that you go through, everything that you face, everything that you push for, the place where you build your future. Now lift that up to a grander scale, thinking of your contribution to a neighborhood, to your city, to your region, to your state, the entire nation. It's all interconnected. It's foundational support for all of the systems that work together from top to bottom, from the government folks and policymakers who make decisions every day and have to think about the implications of their decisions on their particular jurisdiction. It's the central tenet of life for people who have tons of money, where they keep all of their belongings and collect amazing things and plan their next business trip or plan their next business endeavor or make their investment decisions, all the way down to a newborn baby, freshly born from the hospital, which mine comes in February, I know a lot. There are two options to have this central place in our lives. You either own or you rent. If you're preparing to own, when you can't own for some reason, for one reason or another, you have to rent. And if you rent, that's your central place called home. But if you don't rent or you don't own, you're facing homelessness. You're facing homelessness. Either you're in a motel trying to find a place to rent or own, or you're in a hospital recovering from being sick or in rehab, or you're moving from one place to another, whether you own or rent. Thinking a little bit earlier what we reflected on, imagine if that was taken away from you. Someone just decided to take that away from you. What impact do you think that would have? It undermines that freshly born new baby's routine, the elementary schooler's sense of place, direction, and community of teachers and friends. That teenager's ability to focus on school, all of a sudden being told by the parents that they're moving when they didn't plan to. Without warning, also losing a sense of place, of direction. That new college student who's fresh out of college, wrapping up or finishing their last classes, finding a new job, and searching through the internet, or visiting places, or inviting people over to their new apartment. It's a new person on the job with a transportation routine, a planned budget, saving for a home buying opportunity, the new parents, the soccer moms, the new grandparents, that senior who's preparing for end of life. Imagine the impact when somebody says, you can't live here anymore. Now, of course, some mobility is expected, right? Let's be realistic. You may lose an income, or you just want a fresh start, new set of directions, new routine, a new place to live, moving from renting to owning, or it's just planned. It's time to move on. But all of those things are planned or desired. But again, I ask, what happens when someone says to you, in the midst of your planning and systemic contribution to society in your particular routine, in your life, you can't live here anymore? No reason. Or they say to you, you have to pay 50% more than what you've been paying for the last 8 years. It's a story I just heard in Southwest Portland. There are 1.49 million people in the state of Oregon who are subject at any time in their rental tenure to these kinds of decisions. Because of a law, or a series of laws, that allows people, one person, to say to another person, you don't have a home anymore, and throw off that foundational element of life. Let's just let that sit for a minute. So when we think about our housing crisis, what's the housing crisis? It's people losing access to this critical element of life. It's not having enough of supply for people to choose to have, to own, or to rent. It's someone else saying to another person, you can't live here anymore. Or people choosing money over other people. I think of stories that I hear in Hood River of a teacher, or a school district that just hired 4 new teachers, all of which are living in their vans because they can't find a place to live. I think about the construction workers that I heard about in Astoria who are helping to build this new place and have to travel an hour or two just to get home every night. Or this young woman named Cynthia who lives in Tigard. She's 16 years old, amazing spokeswoman, doing great in school, who just was speaking at a rally and said, I can't focus on school because I'm worried about where I'm going to end up in 90 days. We haven't found a place to live. Or the grandmother in Southwest Portland who's 80-something years old who lived in her apartment for 18 years. And someone said, you have to pay double what you've been paying. And she didn't know where she was going to go. She was afraid she was going to die. I think about the hospital workers that have to send people back into the streets after they stabilize them. Or seniors taking half of their prescribed medicine or eating less because their rent went up. The truth is, we can make moves to fix this, and that's what drives me. This is a multifaceted housing crisis with multifaceted solutions. We have to build, we have to provide emergency assistance, and that's why you see all of the flurry of activity that's been happening over the last several years in addressing our housing crisis. What can be done about it? We can change our laws. We can build our housing. We can be better tenants. We can be better landlords. We can focus on changing the law. So this is where CAT comes in. Community Alliance of Tenants, the place where I work, is a 20-year organization that organizes and gathers people together who are subject to these laws and others to help one another through renting this place called home. Currently, we're taking our ask to the legislature to say, let's return this basic part of life to what it should be, respected as a systemic foundational element of our state's economic, health, business, and educational future. So just to talk a little bit about CAT, we have 3 prongs, education, organizing, and advocacy. A lot of times people don't necessarily know that everything that I described to you can happen to them. And so we operate an education department where we operate a hotline. Folks can call in with their particular situation and ask for assistance. And then we also host community workshops throughout the community, informing folks of their rights and responsibilities under Oregon landlord-tenant law. And we also organize people together, both in building-based and issue-based campaigns. So folks who may be dealing with maybe mold or some habitability issue that compromises their ability to enjoy this place called home, we organize them together to work with the landlord, to work with their local jurisdictions and governments to try to fix it. And then we also do issue-based campaigns, which is what I've been talking about today, and trying to fix those laws. And launching a campaign called Just Cause, because we're saying, legislature, let's make it illegal for somebody to take away the central part of our house for no reason. And then we also have tenant advocacy, where we build people's leadership to understand laws, the Oregon landlord-tenant law, for people to understand the government's role in housing, how law is made, the different stakeholders that are involved in housing. and build their leadership to be able to tell their stories and talk about the things of that the experiences that they have in their home. And all that kind of comes together in what we call tenant power, which is we fight for our rights to make sure that they are kept, or we fight for our rights that we can get access to rights that we need to have access to, and try to build each other as we're going through that process. So talking briefly about the Just Cause campaign, as I said earlier, there are two laws that kind of undermine our state's ability to be healthy and successful, both now and in the future. It's currently legal for landlords to say to their tenants, I'm going to raise your rent any amount. And we've seen people who have experienced 40, 60, 100, even 350% rent increases in as little as 30 days, which has forced people to have to move. Some folks are going out of the state. Some folks are just moving to the streets because they can't find a place to live, or they're going different other avenues. The second law is that it's entirely legal for a landlord to say to someone, you can't live here anymore, and I'm not going to give you a reason why. And if you ask for the reason why, their lawyers inform them not to say what that reason is, because it's something called no-cause termination, which means you don't have to have a reason to kick someone out. Which is really difficult because there are people who have been living in their homes for 15, 20, 30 years that have been paying their rent on time that haven't caused any issues. And then because somebody wants to take advantage of this amazing market right now for owners, they can just lose their home. But all that said, there's good news. We can do something about it. And Linda and Mark had asked me to share a couple of options that we have available. The first is to volunteer with us to protect this very pertinent life element. We have volunteer opportunities ranging from operating the hotline, calling and learning or orienting yourself with landlord-tenant law and being able to assist people who are dealing with crisis. We also have opportunities where you can learn our workshops and learn about CAT and give those workshops to folks throughout the community. There's other opportunities for you to help out with phone banking and encouraging people to come to different events that we're holding, or even helping us coordinate some of those events and providing the manpower that we need to take all the supplies and coordinate transportation and do all that good stuff. Of course, you can give a few bucks to support the effort, because a lot of us, there's about 7 of us at CAT who work. This is our job. We do it every single day, and some of us coordinate and keep stuff together. You can also share your story as a renter. I'm not sure how many folks in here are renters, but or who have been renters in the past. It's really powerful when we go to the legislature or we go to the city government and tell them what our experience is of our homes, both positive and negative. You can also educate your friends and your family and your inner circle. Explain to them what I've explained to you, because a lot of people don't really know that this is the case and that it's part of what's fueling and exacerbating this crisis. You can volunteer with other groups like Portland Tenants United, who are organizing local efforts to pass rent freezes or ask for a moractorium on no-cause evictions. And then, of course, there's ways in which you can take personal responsibility to help. You can stand up for someone else if you hear that someone's being kicked out of their home unfairly or unjustly. You can attend some of the protests if it's within your purview. You can call your legislator. Now that we're preparing for the legislative session in 2017, that begins in February. If you go on the Oregon Legislature website, I can't think of it right now, and I will find it by the end of the day for our social hour, but you can find, you can enter your address and it will tell you who your legislator is. You can call them and say, hey, I care about our system, I care about our state. Our own laws should not undermine our own system, and we need to help people keep their places called home. You can also help people move. There have been several efforts on Facebook where you can offer your services to help folks who are in the midst of losing their home, and there's really nothing that they can do about it. And then, of course, be available for emotional support, because a lot of these times when people are in crisis, they're in crisis mode. It's very difficult to think about next steps and to think about what's going to happen with family. And so having a circle of support is really helpful. And then, of course, if you're a landlord here today, I would ask you to remember that central life element that you're partnering with your renters or your tenants. A reasonable return is expected, given that there is some risk that's being assumed with the landlord, because you're owning a home and somebody else is living in it. If damage happens to it, you have to fix it. But know that sudden changes, especially huge changes where somebody has to pay 10 or 40 or 50% more in rent or losing their home for no reason can be jolting. It can be destabilizing. And your contribution to society as a landlord, as a partner in housing, is to be responsible with the decisions that we make. So it's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and I look forward to working together to support this group of Home of Life. 1.49 million people is who we're fighting for. That's 4 in 10 or millions across the state, our neighbors, our friends, our families, our children,